Ragnar wants to kill people, Ravan said. My son's ambitions are very few, merely to hear jokes, solve riddles, get drunk, give rings, lie belly to belly with women, eat well, and go to Odin. Wessex needs a strong man, Guthrum said obscurely. A man who understands how to govern. Sounds like a husband, Ravan said. We take their strongholds, Guthrum said, but we leave half their land untouched. Even Northumbria is only half garrisoned. Mercia has sent men to Wessex, and they're supposed to be on our side. We win, Ravan, but we don't finish the job. And how do we do that? Ravan asked. More men, more ships, more deaths. Deaths? Kill them all, Guthrum said with a sudden vehemence. Every last one, not a Saxon alive. Even the women? Ravan asked. We could leave some young ones, Guthrum said grudgingly, then scowled at me. What are you looking at, boy? Your bone, lord, I said, nodding at the gold-tipped bone hanging in his hair. He touched the bone. It's one of my mother's ribs, he said. She was a good woman, a wonderful woman, and she goes with me wherever I go. You could do worse, Ravan, than make a song for my mother. You knew her, didn't you? I did indeed, Ravan said blandly. I knew her well enough, Guthrum, to worry that I lack the poetic skills to make a song worthy of such an illustrious woman. The mockery flew straight past Guthrum the Unlucky. You could try, he said. You could try, and I would pay much gold for a good song about her. He was mad, I thought, mad as an owl at midday. And then I forgot him because the army of Wessex was ahead, barring our road and offering battle. The dragon banner of Wessex was flying on the summit of a long, low hill that lay athwart our road. To reach Ebenduna, which evidently lay a short way beyond the hill and was hidden by it, we would need to attack up the slope and across that ridge of open grassland. But to the north, where the hills fell away to the River Thames, there was a track along the river, which suggested we might skirt the enemy position. To stop us, he would need come down the hill and give battle on level ground. Halfdan called the Danish leaders together, and they talked for a long time, evidently disagreeing about what should be done. Some men wanted to attack uphill and scatter the enemy where they were, but others advised fighting the West Saxons in the flat river meadows. And in the end, Earl Guthrum the Unlucky persuaded them to do both. That, of course, meant splitting our army into two. But even so, I thought it was a clever idea. Ragnar, Guthrum, and the two earls, Sidroc, would go down to the lower ground, thus threatening to pass by the enemy-held hill, while Halfdan with Harald and Bagseg would stay on the high ground and advance toward the dragon banner on the ridge. That way the enemy might hesitate to attack Ragnar for fear that Halfdan's troops would fall on their rear. Most likely, Ragnar said, the enemy would decide not to fight at all, but instead retreat to Ebenduna, where we could besiege them. Better to have them penned in a fortress than roaming around, he said cheerfully. Better still, Ravan commented dryly, not to divide the army. They're only West Saxons, Ragnar said dismissively. It was already afternoon, and because it was winter, the day was short, so there was not much time, though Ragnar thought there was more than enough daylight remaining to finish off Ethelred's troops. Men touched their charms, kissed sword hilts, hefted shields. Then we were marching down the hill, going off the chalk grasslands into the river valley.